You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 589, recorded on Tuesday, February 19th, 2019. Google Certification. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. On the show today, we're joined by Rachel Pearson, who's leading a boot camp this summer at the Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit in Wisconsin Dells. She's going to talk about Google Level 1 certification, how to get it, and to prep for it. So you're going to want to hear her talk about some of the things she's going to be going through in that boot camp and maybe why you'd want to attend. Sally and I also talk a lot about podcasts and the different ways that you can now listen to Wells Tech. Some good community feedback about maybe a disturbing trend that sees some of the big tech giants removing Christian ministry apps from their app stores. All that and more coming up right now. Again, everybody, this is Wells Tech, and we're back at it again, 589, February 19, 2019, and joining me as usual in this late February podcast, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am very good, Martin. How are you today?
I am doing well.
Shoveled some snow lately?
That's a sore spot around here.
Sorry about that. Yeah. We've braved the rain, if that's any consolation. Kevin and I were actually driving yesterday afternoon, just out sightseeing a little, and noticed that crops were in the field. And he's like, man, they have their crops already in. I wonder what they're growing there. They were starting to sprout. And I said, well, it is 50-degree weather. You know, if it were 50 degrees in Minnesota, the farmers would be out, you know, for sure.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, we've had some 70-degree weather days as well.
I can say the sun is shining today, so that's the best I can do. So,
yeah.
I did buy a new snowblower this year, so that's actually been one of the
good
bright
timing.
Spots of the winter. So, yeah, perfect timing. Mm-hmm. I downsized a little bit. We have a steep driveway, short but steep driveway, so I felt a little more comfortable with something a little bit lighter and more maneuverable, and it's come in handy this year. Mm-hmm. So
I hear people are finding it difficult to find a place to put the snow these days.
Yeah, it's when it gets up to
piles.
My mailbox, I know that winter should be over by now,
yeah.
But unfortunately it's not. So anyway, enough about weather. We're inside and in 74 degrees here in my office, so I can be thankful for that.
For sure. We can be thankful for our Wells Tech community, because they are coming through for us as great presenters mm-hmm. at the upcoming EdTech Lead Conference that we're hosting this summer in Wisconsin Dells. Very excited about the tech lineup that we have planned, including some pre-conference events that have a tech flair to them as well.
And registration's ongoing, and I think that we have some of these workshops filling up faster than others, but you do have to sign up for these. So it's important to remember that. Don't wait till, even though early bird discount, quote unquote, goes until, you know, the end of April, I would say get in there so that you can make sure you have a seat at some of these things that may be extremely relevant to your ministry, whether that be in the church or school or wherever.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're focusing really heavy on the conference, which is June 25th through 27th, but there is a full day of pre-conference that has a different feel to it, and that's
right.
Where you're going to actually be in
a lot of hands-on
kind
right.
of events. In particular, some that involve your computer. We have Brian Schaefer, who's in charge of our friends, what would we call them? Partners in
right.
web hosting.
They're our
There's
friends
a word for that.
And our partners.
Yes. Yes. Brian's coming from California to lead a pre-conference session on Final Web, specifically Final Web 2.0, which is their rebooted and new look and feel, new interface software. So if you want to get in on that, and I think during the day, completely revamp your website if you're so inclined, or maybe you just want to come and learn and do the redesign at a later time. Brian's going to be there to answer your questions and lead you through that process. Yeah. So that'll be a good session to be part of.
A lot of interest there. But one of the big themes, of course, as it was probably back in our Wells Tech conference in 2015, is a big Google presence. You know, not Google employees, but people from across the Senate who are Google experts.
Particularly in the classroom, where people have done some amazingly innovative things by introducing one-to-one computing in the classroom, most often on Chromebooks. And it has required a learning curve for teachers. Mm-hmm. So we're here to support that with a pre-conference Google Level 1 Certification Boot Camp being led by Rachel Pearson. And many of you know Rachel from the Wells Tech community. She's currently teaching in a public school near Mankato, Minnesota. And she'll tell us a little bit about that because we had a chance to talk with Rachel and hear about her boot camp. Joining us for Wells Tech today is Miss Rachel Pearson. Happy to have you joining us, Rachel. She's one of my favorite tech divas.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here.
We are excited to welcome you, and I'm pretty sure this isn't your first time on Wells Tech. I didn't search the archives for that, but it's certainly not your first time to be involved with Wells Tech and technology in general and in our Senate. And maybe we should kick off the interview with you introducing yourself. Tell us a little bit about who Rachel is.
Absolutely, can do. My name, obviously, is Rachel Pearson. I served at Trinity Lutheran School in Waukesha for 10 years. And due to some family obligations, then took a job at a public school district in Janesville, Minnesota, which many people from DMLC and MLC will know as the town that had the doll in the window. Right? Sorry, yes. Everybody remembers that. That house is currently being remodeled, anyhow.
No more doll, huh?
No more doll, but the doll does exist at the public library in town now. So you could go see it.
Interesting.
So I taught STEM for grades K through 6 for a few years, and this year I transitioned into a role where I get to coach teachers in personalizing their learning. And what that means is we talk a lot about instruction and how to design that to best meet the needs of the kids in their classroom.
Very good. I'm sure there's a lot of technology involved in that. Still.
There is, you know, and my focus is to help teachers use technology in meaningful ways, not just to use it because they have it or because it could do the work for them, but to really enhance the learning that they design for their learners.
Excellent. And your church membership is probably in the Mankato area, I'm guessing?
It is. Yep. I am a member at St. Mark in Mankato, where I play organ and did a choir for our special anniversary service, and I serve on the worship committee and technology committee there.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We are excited that you're going to be joining us this summer at Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit. You're actually on the planning committee, so hats off to you for all the work that you've put into planning the conference with our group. It's been an adventure so far, for sure. But we wanted to tap into you for the conference for doing a pre-conference session. So you were on tap to do a whole day of Google goodness. So maybe give us an idea about what your pre-conference session is about.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed being on the conference planning committee too, because I had a little experience with that with the Wells Tech conference a few years ago. And now that Wells Tech conference and the leadership conference have joined forces, it's been awesome trying to plan this amazing event. And really excited for what it's going to end up being. So if you're not registered for it, please register, because we want to see you there. So in my teaching career and in my professional career, I have gained a Google education certification. They have two levels of that. So I do level one and level two. And then beyond that, they have a Google certified trainer certification that I also hold right now. So I love giving training sessions on Google Suite for Education and really showing teachers, like I mentioned earlier, the power of using this tool to enhance the learning that they design for their students in their classroom. So I'm really excited to do this full day pre-conference session where we will talk a little bit about how Google Drive works and how that's kind of the umbrella to the whole Google suite. And then we'll go into more details about Google Docs and Google Slides and Google Sheets and Sites and Drawings and all the things that kind of fall under that umbrella of Google Suite for Education.
Sounds awesome for teachers. I assume that they can also pursue some certifications, especially after attending this training.
Yeah, absolutely. My goal is for them to feel comfortable enough to register and take and pass the test to get their level one certification. So if you're a teacher who has any experience using Google in your professional career, like if your school or church uses it to help organize things, if you have any experience with it at all, you'd probably be able to pass the test without much extra work.
So you slid right into my next question, Rachel, because you mentioned church as well. I know a lot of people maybe even aren't at the point where they have Google apps for their domain or whatever, but we can use the Google tools even without that. Would this be a beneficial session for people in church settings as well?
Yeah, we can definitely talk about how these tools can be used in the church setting. An immediate example that comes to my mind is with our worship committee and our worship planning. We use a Google Sheet that's available to the pastor, to the secretary, to the treasurer, you know, who has to pay the organist. And, you know, a lot of people who are involved in the worship planning process can log on to this spreadsheet and see exactly what the readings are going to be for the day, what the prayer of the day, you know, all the liturgical information, all the hymns that are picked for a particular Sunday, and, you know, if there's anything special going on, like baptisms or confirmations or other special events during the worship service. It's kind of our hub for communicating what's happening for the worship services. So that's definitely a tool. And, you know, there are lots of other ways, too, that Docs and Slides and all the Google tools can be used to make the schoolwork and church work more efficient and effective.
Wow, that's a great example, Rachel. We just released, and this interview kind of overlaps a little bit, an episode on doing a church intranet, and we actually talked about using Drive as one option for doing an intranet, and your worship example fits right in with what we just discussed on last week's show. So great example and great opportunity for people to learn more about that if they're in your training. Now, maybe shifting gears a little bit to this level one exam, you mentioned that people should be able to take and pass the exam after they've completed this day-long training with you in pre-conference. Are there extra studying that would be required, or what's the exam like? What can people expect?
Well, when you do register for taking the exam, you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't tell you exactly what's on it. Mm-hmm. But I will say that it's some multiple choice. You'll get into a sample Google domain and have to actually do some activities for them. They give you about, I think it's 3 hours for the, it's technically a time test. You have a 3 hour time period, and it's a $10 fee for this test. You can retake it if you don't pass the first time. There is a little bit of a waiting period, but that's, you know, understandable because it'll give you a chance to refresh on some of the things that areas that you may not have felt as comfortable in. But I am not planning on having the exam built into the day, so people will probably have to will register for that on their own, and then take that sometime after this pre-conference experience. So usually within a day of registering for the test, they send you a link where you can log in and take that exam, and your results are given to you really fast after you're done.
Excellent. So, you know, people can do this one of two ways. They can come and learn what they need to learn, and then if they choose to, after the fact, they can spend the $10 and get the certification to show that they've mastered a lot of great skills by attending your boot camp. Sounds like a win-win.
I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Good, good. Well, thanks, Rachel, for joining us, for taking a little time out of your busy day. We will look forward to seeing you in June.
Blessings, everybody. Thank you.
Rachel, as always, thanks again for your contributions to the podcast, and really looking forward to your contributions to the conference, the Google Level 1 Certification Boot Camp. I'm sure is going to be a blessing to those who sit in on it. Sounds very very practical.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to learn more about that certification, just kind of get a feel of the kind of things Rachel's going to be covering, besides reading her introduction to her course or her pre-conference presentation, Google has a training center, and they specifically have information about the Google certification process. So Rachel did a great job of describing it. You have an idea about the test you have to take and the cost involved, but you can head over to this website to learn more if you're interested in just figuring out what the certification is all about. And while I was kind of looking around on the Google Training Center, I found a Google Teacher Tribe podcast that looks very interesting. So I'd be curious if anybody's a follower of that podcast, and if not, maybe you are interested in tuning in if you're teaching with Google. It's called the Google Teacher Tribe podcast, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes.
So we should probably give a little bit more detail about these pre-conference workshops. They have their own pricing structure. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually looking for that right now on the site. Sal, you probably have it right on your fingertips.
Yeah, I actually do, because I typed it right into that site.
$100 bucks, I hear it is. I finally found it. Yeah. Full-day workshops are $100.
Right, well, there's two breakdowns. There's a full day, which is like 8 to 4 with lunch included. Mm-hmm. And then there's an evening workshop as well, and the pricing is separate. So if you want to do the daytime, it's $100. The evening is $40. The full day would be $140. But we do have you covered for breakfast and lunch if you're doing the daytime. Just not an evening meal isn't included in that $140.
Right. So that's a great value for $100 for a full day of certification type training by an expert. So take advantage of that. Rachel, thanks so much again for spending a little time with us and for joining us in June in the Dells. Neat. Shall we move along, Sally? Is that time to go to...
It is time for news and tech.
News and tech. Interesting news in tech. And one of the things that I kind of keep my eye on is the podcasting world. And one of the products that we've talked about in the past for getting started with podcasts is a product called Anchor. And they kind of did a soup to nuts. They kind of gave you all the tools necessary to create a podcast, to produce it, and then to publish it. And the news in tech has an article talking about Anchor joining forces, or probably the other way around, Spotify purchasing Anchor. It says Anchor is joining Spotify. I think Spotify's the big player here, big kid on the block. But basically, Spotify is all over podcasting these days. They have their own podcasting section. They recognize that podcasting is a big thing these days. So they wanted a partner where they could encourage people people to create podcasts and then obviously publish them. So I'm assuming that it's going to be super easy if you use the Anchor suite of tools to create those podcasts, distribute them. And obviously part of Spotify's shtick is monetization. So I'm sure they're going to make it easy for people who are desirous of that to be able to monetize their podcasts as well. So I'll have a little bit more on Spotify later on in the show, but this is just another step in, and that's good news for Wells Tech, I suppose, as well, that podcasts are, I think, considered mainstream these days. And, you know, our little podcast, you know, maybe not as mainstream as some of the other ones that you might recognize, but like Serial and all the ones, This American Life, et cetera, that are basically just today's radio, I would probably characterize them as.
Yeah, podcasts are today's talk radio, and mm-hmm. YouTube is today's television, basically.
That's right. So, interesting, isn't it?
You know, you follow...
That happened within the 5-6 year period here, didn't it?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I met with family, and they're like, oh, we watch so-and-so. We don't miss any of their videos. You know, it's like a serial thing that you're really plugged into on YouTube.
So, yep.
Same concept.
All right. Speaking of news, Wells Now, we've got a little news related to the conference.
We do. There's something new on the conference website. It's a giveaway. And who wouldn't want to win something for free? We are giving away a Kalahari Resort free night stay with blackout dates that apply to that. So it's not just wide open, but you get a free night at Kalahari with four passes to the water park. So that's a great thing. Or a $25 Amazon gift card. So we'll have two winners in our giveaway. And what we're looking for is to help spread the word about Wells EdTech Lead 2019, the summit that's happening this summer. And so as you enter, you can learn more about the summit and get information about registering, et cetera. And then once you complete the entry form, you'll be given a link which you can share with other people through email or social media or texting, however you want to share the link. And if those people end up entering the contest, the sweepstakes, then you get two extra entries on top of yours just for having your friends entering as well. So again, we're just trying to get everyone in the know about all the great things that we have available at this summer's conference, and we thought this was a great way to do it and that you guys can win in the process. You can also register every day, so if you want to have more entries in the drawing, just come back and register subsequent days. I think it keeps up with 24-hour periods, so it'll tell you if you've registered within the last 24 hours. But yeah, it's a neat thing to put this together and learn about this kind of marketing efforts, because it is something to help you spread the word. And, you know, who knows what you have to spread the word about, hopefully around your church or school, but maybe this kind of giveaway would be an example of something that you might consider doing as well. So lots of win-wins in the process.
That's wellsedtechlead.com/giveaway is the website.
Right.
wellsedtechlead.com/giveaway. And it is open now until when?
March 31st.
March 31st. Okay.
We'll pick our winners on April 1st.
Cost nothing to enter, and you can enter as much as you want. So the more you enter, the better the odds. And the mm-hmm. more you share, the better the odds. So thank you, Sally. Thanks for your work in setting that up. I know that was not not as easy as it has been in the past to find a tool like that.
Yeah, there's lots of legalities around doing things like that, but we found a really good vendor, ShortStack, I believe is the vendor that we're using. There's several that are out there, and it's not a free thing either, but there is nonprofit pricing, which gave us mm-hmm. a big discount off their normal pricing. So definitely a learning curve to it, but it wasn't impossible to do. Knocked it out in a day or so. So
good. Mm-hmm. Picks of the week.
My pick of the week is from the Make Use Of site, and they are known for giving lots of great tips and tricks.
They're known for giving you good picks of the week, too.
That's right. And recently I read about 5 ways to instantly take notes on your iPhone. And, you know, it rang a bell with me because I do struggle on the iPhone to have a good place to put my notes. And I know I have a lot of different tools. For instance, OneNote. We use OneNote all the time for work, mm-hmm. but I'm just not in the habit of using it on my iPhone or using it for personal purposes. You know, it's more of my work tool. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way I'm using it currently. And a lot of times I want to just copy paste some text. Like maybe I want to reuse it, or I want to send one version of it to someone and another version to someone else or whatever. And I haven't found just an easy way to do that. But what I learned from this article is that you can use the Apple Notes feature, which is a pretty robust note-taking tool now. I think over time it's gotten better and better. And you can actually make it part of your control center, which is that screen that shows you when you swipe up from the bottom. So I use the control center often to turn on and off Wi-Fi or put my phone in airplane mode or change the orientation of my screen, because I usually have it locked on portrait and maybe I turn it to landscape. So it's that screen if you have an iPhone. But you can turn on showing the Notes app right there on the control center screen. And what's cool about that is you don't even have to log into your phone to get access to the control center screen. You don't have to do your thumbprint touch or your voice, your image recognition or whatever it takes to get in on your phone. And you can set it up to start a new note automatically, so you're not writing on top of something that you've already saved. And you can do things like scan items. So if you wanted to quick scan a receipt or something that you just don't want to forget about, that's built right into it. There's all kinds of notation capabilities. If you're on an iPad and you have one of those fancy Apple Pencils, you can use your pencil and do really nicely formatted handwritten notes. Lots of capabilities there. But for me, it was just the quick and easy add it to Control Center, which was really the aha moment for me. And they walk you through how to do that in this article. So if you aren't making use of the Notes app and you'd like it in your Control Center, then this is the article for you. So check it out.
Very good. The nice part, as you mentioned, is the when you want to take these notes, it really has to be fast. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't be 3 and 4 and 5 clicks into your phone to try and find this thing, or even remember, you know, where? What app that you normally use. If it's right there in the control center, it's going to be much easier to use, and you're not going to wait, you know, or you're not going to make others wait while you're trying to write down a phone number or, mm-hmm. you know, some other piece of information. So mm-hmm.
Good pick.
All right, my pick of the week, I kind of teased it a little bit at the beginning of the show, the top of the show. It is related to Spotify, and I mentioned Spotify was getting into podcasting in a big way. And up until recently, you had to be on certain platforms to get your podcast on Spotify. You had to be using Libsyn or some of those other podcasting tools, or Anchor, which we mentioned earlier in the show, and we weren't on any of those. We host our own on our own WordPress website, and wasn't super possible to get Wells Tech on Spotify. Well, that all changed, and now mm-hmm. Wells Tech is on Spotify podcasts. So if you open up your, if you're a Spotify user, you can go to the podcast section and search on Wells Tech, and now you can hear us on Spotify as well. We'll have to add a little Spotify link to our show notes page.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yep, along with, what are we, Slacker and iTunes and Google mm-hmm. Play, and now on Spotify. So Spotify is an up-and-comer. They're obviously big in the music side, but I think they want to be just as big on the podcast side as well. So we needed to be there. I already have submitted the Daily Devotion as well, and some of the other audio podcasts I'll try and get on there as well. But Wells Tech for sure is there today, and we'll put a link in the show notes, or you can just search it if you have the app, and should come up for you. So that is my pick of the week.
Excellent. I'm just thinking that getting that icon up there on Wells Tech is going to make our bar really wide. I guess
we took
off
Google Plus. Right.
Yeah.
So you lose one, you gain one.
That.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice to be in lots of places.
Yeah. There's a couple other we could probably rotate off. One that starts with a P, maybe?
No. That's a really important one, that Pinterest one. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave it on there.
I can't believe you would even suggest.
There's still plenty of real estate. All right, let's move on to ministry resources. And I'll take that one, Sally. This is something I ran across the other day from Church Juice, which is a site I happen upon once in a while. And they, like some of the other church and ministry and tech and ministry sites, have these checklists. And this checklist that they published back in December is a checklist for your ministry's online strategy in 2019. And I thought it was well written and worth sharing. Some of the things they talk about are real practical, and they kind of walk you through a number of things that if you're building a strategy for 2019, you really ought to keep in mind. So they start out by saying a website isn't good enough. And I guess I would agree with that. A website is important, but it's not the only thing that should be on your online strategy. You need to be there, and you're conspicuous if you are not there, and you ought to make it as good as possible. And they talk about some of the things that you should be doing to your website, fully optimize it by, you know, good branding, mobile design, make sure it loads quickly. They have a kind of a nice infographic there, good site structure and architecture, all those kinds of things. Another thing they talk about is make sure you're setting up Google Analytics, and we've talked about that in the past too. You take all that time to put up your site, you want to know how it's doing. And the only way you're really going to tell, other than anecdotal evidence, is to kind of look at the numbers. Google Analytics will tell you a lot of things about how your site is doing, not just traffic, but what kind of traffic, where is that traffic coming from, what Google searches are people using to find your site. So those are all things that Google Analytics can help you with. One thing that we mentioned a couple weeks ago that they mentioned here in the article as well is double check your Google business listing. We've mentioned it a couple times. Make sure your Apple and Google Maps are accurate, and take steps to correct that if they're not. And then finally, they talk about maximizing that social media. So a website, again, is not enough. You need to make sure that you are in places where people are. And where people are typically is Facebook, Instagram, those kinds of places. So you want to make sure that those kinds of strategies are in place for your church or school as well. So take a look at this article from Church Juice, checklist for your ministry's online strategy in 2019.
Yeah, it's a quick read, but there were a couple of takeaways that I got from it that I hadn't really thought about, Martin. One that they really emphasized a lot was to be very aware and promote your location, like in your metadata and your searching in Google Ads, if you use them or whatever, because often people want to find a church in their location. Right. So just saying you're the Lutheran Church or the Wells Lutheran Church or whatever doesn't identify where your the church location is, you know. So being aware of that and using your location in a lot of different ways. Another thing, you mentioned it, setting up Google Business. They also talked about Apple Maps. Now, I remember, I believe it was Cindy Krieger followed up and said, don't forget about Bing and that you can control your information in Bing. But we really didn't talk about Apple. So we'll make sure and highlight that link to Apple Maps where you can double check your data that's listed with them as well. That was new to me. Mm-hmm. And then finally, that section on social media, wield your social media. It says, I really like the illustration they use. They said, if your website is the hub, the centerpiece, the body of your online presence, then social media is its tentacles. This is how you can get in front of people quickly and fairly easily. And I just can really picture that. You're producing all this great content. There's all these channels or tentacles that you can share it. You just did that for us by adding Wells Tech Audio to Spotify. That's a great example that it really takes that one-time setup, and then you're there for the people to find you that are in that social media area or whatever. So I think that's really important stuff. So great article.
Yep. Tyler Rominger is the author of this article. So good stuff, Tyler. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. I think we're to the segment in our show where we look at the feedback we get from our Wells Tech community.
Yeah, we have a couple of things to mention here. First off, an interesting email we received from Pastor Jim Berenger, who heads up the Commission on Special Ministries for Wells. And man, this guy is a hardworking fellow. He's responsible for a whole lot. A lot of our areas of ministry are very focused. We have worship, we have missions, home missions, whatever. But special ministries cover so many different things. There's military, deaf and hard of hearing, visually impaired, and on and on and on. They have a lot of things under the umbrella of special ministries. And one way that they make all of that work for our synod is through the use of volunteers. And Pastor Berenger specifically is looking for a volunteer that's got a little bit of tech savviness to them. So we thought Wells Tech would be a great place to mention this need. What he's looking for is someone to kind of host a Moodle course that they have. So just keep tabs on it, see if people, you know, stopped halfway through and maybe follow up with them, things like that. And that's just a very minimal commitment, but it does take a little bit of desire to work with technology and Moodle in particular. But there's always need for volunteers in special ministries. So if that position's been filled already or you're interested in other areas, certainly getting in touch with that office would be a good thing to do. So if anyone's listening and hears this and wants more details, you can just write to Martin and I at wellstech@wells.net, and we'll get you the proper connection to Pastor Jim Berenger over in special ministries.
Yep, definitely a need, and this is an easy way. This is not tough technology. It's just you kind of getting used to the interface and just kind of paying attention to it once in a while. So good.
We had other community feedback. It was actually from the Wells Intersections group. Just an interesting discussion out there, Martin. I think you were part of that conversation, actually.
Yep. Well, the article that is referenced on Wells Intersection is talking about Apple, and actually since then I think Google as well, removing a Christian ministry app following complaints by the LGBT activist group. The ministry app, let's see if I can find the name of it, Truth, that's not it. The gay rights group is Truth Wins Out.
Living Hope Ministries of Arlington, Texas.
There you go. Basically, it was an app that was there basically to help members of the LGBT community recognize what homosexuality was according to the Bible and different ways to deal with it and ultimately move from it. And the community took exception to that, started a change.org petition. Mm-hmm. Apple listened and pulled the app, saying, I forget what the what Apple said, but Truth Wins Out, which is the gay rights group, said they convinced the tech giant that the app was dangerous, bigoted, and hateful. And I'm assuming that's why Google did it as well. And part of the discussion was obviously concern that there was a free rights or free speech violation, and where is this headed? And that was kind of my thought too, is that if Apple can pick and choose what they want in there, which I guess they can, that will close some doors to us, and maybe it could slide into the, not just the apps area, but if they're, listening to us now, they could say, well, we're having a conversation that is offensive, and we shouldn't be publishing their podcast either. And, they'll take us off of iTunes, or Spotify will do it, or whatever. And that's troubling. But my comment was, yeah, it's troubling yet the church has faced censorship many times in the past, and the gospel has always found a way. That's not to say that Apple product-using Christians shouldn't also make their voices heard either. We have an opportunity to stand up for what we believe
free
and
speech.
What God says. We should not be ashamed of that, and should not be censored for simply sharing what God has to say on a particular issue. Mm-hmm. Part of the conversation also turned to technology, and I forget who it was that mentioned that, you know, maybe this is one of the reasons that you need progressive web apps. And that's what the Wells app is. If you go to wells.app, you will come to basically a website, but it will act as a mobile app. So you don't have to go to an app store, so nobody can prohibit its existence. You can install it, click a button, and it installs right on your device, your phone, or your tablet. And it acts very much like an app, gets updated regularly, and has all the, you know, features that a regular app could have, just not something that is in the app store. So somebody mentioned, well, maybe that's the way to go. And I think in some respects it is, although there's something about searching in an app store where a lot of people will look first rather than a progressive web app. Maybe that'll change over time. I think the Wells app, it's only been out in less than a year, probably doesn't have as much viewership as the apps did in the Google and Apple stores, but maybe that'll change over time too. So I think there's something to be said for that approach where we can't kind of be squashed by the powers that be that run these app stores for censorship reasons.
Yep. There was additional discussion about Victory of the Lambs website. I think they're in Franklin, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And they even have a page on their website about adding the app, the web app, to your home screen with instructions for iOS versus Android and using Firefox versus Chrome browsers, things like that. So I thought that was really well done. We'll have a link to that in the show notes as well.
Keep in mind that that is something you need to account for and should be part of your online strategy too, is if you've got a website that can serve that purpose, then just make it as easy as possible for people to grab and get back to. Is that it for community feedback, Sally?
That will do it for this week, yes.
How would somebody else who would want to contribute to the show do so?
Well, they could head to our Pinterest page and pin something. That would be a great way to do it. Or they could head to wellstech.wells.net and find links to all our social media along the top right corner. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. We have a wiki that people can contribute to. And then you can find us in all kinds of places where podcasts are played. You can even leave us a voicemail. There's a link on the right side of the screen to record a voicemail through the browser. And we'd love to include your voice in the next Wells Tech with your comments on this show.
Wonderful. Sally, while you have the floor, why don't you go right into our video of the week?
Our video of the week is just something to whet your appetite for Wells Education, Technology, and Leadership Summit happening this summer in Wisconsin Dells. We've talked about it a few times on the show. Thought I'd give you a little promo video. We'd love it if you share this via social media in your congregations and schools. We really encourage everyone to consider being there with us this summer at the Kalahari.
Good. I'm excited about next week because that is our show where we focus on educational technology, and we're going to continue our conversation around the book Faithfully Connected and look at digital etiquette. And our good friend Rachel from MLC, Rachel Feld, will be joining us as she does every other month and bringing her knowledge. And she's actually teaching through this book, so love her insight when we talk with Rachel.
Definitely. Digital etiquette, that's a hard one to teach to students, and
it is
a hard one to practice, you know, walking the walk, even in your digital life.
Exactly. Important stuff. So join us next week for that, and I really appreciate you joining us this week for our conversation. Again, you should go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, for all the links that we talked about and to get in touch with us, and then tune in next week. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Bye-bye.